Welcome to Next Gen U. My name is John Kovacs Jr., motivational speaker, accountability coach, and serial entrepreneur. Each week, we bring you an inspiring message to help you become next gen in every area of your life. Thanks for joining the community of achievers and accepting the role as our world's next geners. Enjoy this episode's content. Coming to you from the Wasatch back of Silicon Slopes. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I really appreciate you listening and following the show. In fact, I have a few people who've reached out, and in the next episode, I want to make a personal one-on-one shout out to each of those individuals who gave me a 5-star review and liked our show. Really appreciate it, and thanks for all your support. I really am having a lot of fun. And one of the things I learned early on in my career as a public speaker is that I need to make sure that I record my content and then find a place to review it constantly. That's the only way to improve as a public speaker, and it's the only way to really get your name out there so that people can find you. So I really do appreciate you following me, and thanks for, you know, putting up with the interesting quality of equipment and speakers and so forth. You know, I get background noise from my dogs barking to pretty much anything, but you know what? I just love being on the go, and I love using my ability to be mobile. Anyways, today's content is really interesting. I recorded a John rant for now. One of John rants while he was commuting. Okay, I'm talking about myself in the third person here. While I was commuting, we were talking about a principle we use in the accountability world as a coach, and that principle is called the intentions and envisionment. Okay, so when you envision something, you think about it, you ponder it, and then you can almost go to a place where you can experience it. It's living vicariously in the future or in the experience through your brain. What an incredible aspect to use as somebody who's trying to set goals. Okay, a lot of entrepreneurs are trying to set goals, they're trying to achieve things. Even if you're not a goal setter, you're heading in a direction. Okay, you're heading on a journey, and whatever that looks like, whatever it might be, I want you to envision the outcomes of your intentions. And we're going to go over that in just a second. But what you're about to hear has been used in a lot of my scenarios. Not only do I coach professionals, high-level executives, business owners, entrepreneurs, and people just trying to overcome certain challenges in their life, I use this as a way to challenge myself to teach this to high school kids. Now, I was able to teach a high school track and field team. I'm an ex track and field athlete, and I used to do decathlons in college, but I used this this intentional, we'll call it envisionment activity, with one of my athletes. Now, here's the story. And if you don't mind, I'm going to share the story before we get into this content. But the story is this. I left on vacation, and I had spent an entire season training my high school high jumpers to fulfill a particular height so that they could go to the state championships. I had four girl high jumpers in high school who could all qualify to win the regional championships and go to the state championships and compete. And I probably had two girls who could compete for first place, okay? But during the regional championships, I had to take a necessary family vacation. So I was unable to be there to coach them, to support them, to cheer for them, to go through our typical rituals and routines in preparation for the event. And come to find out, while I'm surfing in California, all but one of my girl athletes actually performed that weekend, leaving only one person who excelled to the top, who showed up on that day and did their best and qualified for the state championships. Now, let me tell you who this person was. The person who qualified for the state championships was not my first jumper, not my second ranked jumper, not my third ranked jumper, but my fourth ranked jumper. And you want to know what? She was a freshman. She was a freaking freshman. And she showed up on a day when everyone else choked. And she qualified for the state championships. Okay, now fast forward. I get back from my trip. I realize that I had poured so much time and focus into the other top three girls because I could usually only take the top three girls to all the rest of the meets throughout the season. I had to focus an entire season's worth of training on this one particular freshman girl in preparation for the state championships. Oh, and guess what? We had 3 days to do it. Can you believe that? Insane. And I realized something, and I'm glad I realized this because I would have probably messed with this young lady's ability to compete at the way she did. But this is the cool part about this story, guys. Instead of really training hard, going through the foundations, the basics, hitting the weight room, and doing all the things that we should have been doing early on in the season, I realized that if I did that, I would just make her tired. I would just make her more sore, and she wouldn't be able to perform at peak, okay? And I realized that the only thing holding back this young freshman from doing anything, because she already did it on her own, was her mindset. If she could envision the outcomes of her intentions, that she could perform at the highest level. Okay, so remember, freaking freshman, guys, not even my top jumper, and she's the only one on my team going to the state championships because she qualified on the day she needed to. The other three, I'm sorry, they're gonna be there next year, but look, that's where it is. So I'm coaching her. We're talking about mindset. We spend 3 days. Okay, the first 2 days are really intense mindset days. Okay, all we don't even go on the track, guys. We focused on our mindset. And in that mindset, we talked about the outcome of our intentions. We closed our eyes and we envisioned the feelings that it felt, the experience, who we were celebrating with when we did our best at the state championships. I didn't even tell her, you're going to win first place, so envision first place. I didn't tell her that. I told her to envision the outcomes of her intentions. Now, she's a competitive girl. So you know what she intended to do? She intended to win. Okay, this is where the story gets crazy. Absolutely crazy. This freshman, 2 days of mindset development, mindset therapy, if that's what I'm going to call it, okay? All we did was focus on envisioning the outcome of her intentions. The outcome she envisioned was to win a state title, to be a champion. That's all she wanted. That's all she cared about. Heck, there are girls that are far better than her, jumped higher all season long than her. She's just, staring them down their throat saying, this is going to be tough. This will be tough. 3 days later, we show up to the Utah State Championships for the 5A girls high jump. Oh, and guess what? Here's a caveat. I'm not allowed down on the field. I can't even coach her. Okay, I can't even be there. So what I did is I ran to the nearest CVS store. I bought myself one of those whiteboards and a couple of dry erase markers. And I started to think about it. And I said, if I can get her to say out loud the things that she needs to do to stay focused and to envision the outcomes, to do what she envisioned, I needed to get her to read my sign. I don't even have to talk to her. Because that's what a lot of coaches do. They yell at you, la, 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 la. All they do is speak to you and say, you got it? Okay, go and do it. How unfair is that, by the way? All you coaches out there listening. How unfair is that to talk, 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 and then expect them to turn around and perform, perform, perform? How on earth is that coaching? Okay? That's not coaching. Okay, before I get on too big of a rant, I wanted to say that I realized that if I can get my athletes to say it for themselves, then they could believe it themselves. It wasn't about what I said. It was about what they said to themselves. So I wrote the most ridiculous things like, smile, you're doing great, say it out loud. I would throw in a few critiques like, jump higher, that's kind of dumb, but because it's high jump. I mean, you got to jump over the bar. Jump higher is literally easy. But anyways, I would just say these things like arch your back, focus on getting up, chin up, arm first, knee up, that kind of stuff. But as I was Writing these things down, I just continued to remember to tell her, have fun, smile, envision. And she would do that. She would close her eyes, she would smile, and then she'd go back to her jump. Okay, so here it comes down. This is the pinnacle of the entire story. She shows up for her first jump, and she clears the opening height by like a foot. I'm like, wow, I wish she could do that in like two more heights. But she clears the opening height, clears it on the first one, gets up, we all clap, we're super excited, okay? And then we wait around. A few girls are eliminated from competition. There's a few girls, still a lot of girls left. Second jump comes up, and she clears the bar by at least half a foot. Okay, they only went up 2 inches, but man, did she clear the second height. Now, if there's something you need to know about high jump, okay? In competition, high jump is scored by the number of times you clear a height, right? So if I get 3 attempts and I clear it on the first attempt, I'm ranked the highest attempter, right? But if I jumped 2 times and failed both times, but then got it on my third, I'm on the low end of that ranking because somebody else may have jumped fewer times to clear a height than I did. So that puts me down. But think about this. She cleared the opening height on her first try. She cleared the second height on her first try. So she's ranked pretty high. Our odds are pretty good. But I noticed something. After that second round, there were only 5 girls left in competition, period. 5 girls left in competition. I knew it. I knew it. My freshman girl was going to take at least 5th place or more, okay? Or better. At least 5th place because she was the only one of the 5 standing left, right? So here we go. We're rolling into it. 3rd jump, her highest jump of the season, already cleared twice because the opening height was her I didn't mention that earlier. The opening height was her personal record. She'd cleared that and she'd cleared 2 inches higher than that. Okay. So now she's jumping 4 inches higher than her personal record. 3rd attempt, jumps. Oh, and she misses it just barely. Her calf just scraped the bar and it just nicked and fell over. So, okay. All right. All is good. I started watching the other girls and the same thing's kind of happening. Okay. So we're watching. And then, she goes for a 2nd attempt. Ooh, just barely kicked it. Just kicked it with her heel. Oh, but she was so close. Her butt and her body have cleared the bar and she's getting up over. Her form is awesome. We haven't gone through the training enough to teach her how to kick her feet out at the end. We haven't gotten that far. I needed a season's worth of training to give her that to her, but that's okay. She's got 1 more attempt. The 3rd attempt, she jumps. Oh, so close. Her back just grazes it and it falls off. Then she's eliminated. But that's not over, because guess what? All the other girls around her, except one girl who was a senior, she's going to college on scholarship for high jump, jumping the same height as my freshman, clears the height and moves on and wins the championship. However, that means my freshman, she's one of 4 girls left who've probably taken the podium. I'm thinking she's got to be like 2nd, or no, maybe 3rd, maybe 4th. I know she did better than 5th because she cleared her first 2 heights. So she's going to be like 3rd or 4th. And the officiator comes over and grabs the women and puts them in a huddle. They start talking and they look like they have a very, very serious conversation. A couple girls walk away crying and a couple girls are like celebrating. And my little freshman turns around with like a dumbfounded face. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, what is it? And I hold up my finger. Is it like 3? Is it 4? You remember, I can't speak to him because I'm across the field. I'm like, is it 3? Holding up my number 3. Hold it. Is it 4? 3? What is it? And before she tells us, I want you to know, I'm standing right next to her mom and her grandma and then her 3 best friends from high school who were all just kind of standing there waiting. I'm asking, 3? Is it 4? What'd you get? She smiles, opens her mouth, and shows me the number 2 and says, 2. I got 2nd place. We are screaming. We are jumping. I'm hugging and kissing her mom and her grandma, and we're celebrating. My freshman took 2nd place in state championships. She is a top 3 champion. She wins with 0 practice. and all she had was the mindset to win and to be a champion. So with that story in mind, with that preface, I introduce to you the content behind envisioning the outcome of your intentions. Because if you envision yourself being a champion, which you always should envision yourself being a champion, you shall find yourself ascending to the top and to the highest podiums of your life. Here is my John rant during my commute about the outcomes of your intentions. Hey everybody, this is John Kovach Jr. I wanted to do my morning rant, if you call it that. When the mind is sharp, and when the mind is the sharpest, I want to take advantage of that and share my thoughts and feelings and kind of just pour out into a recording just everything that I have on my mind. And I think that's super important, and I think it's part of the journaling process, the process of getting things out. So when I say this out loud, I'm going to make some mistakes. I'm going to probably disagree or contradict myself. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I'm just trying to flesh things out. I'm just trying to exercise my brain. And the funny thing about this is before I jumped onto this, I realized I didn't have my headphones, that I probably could have used a better app. There were a bunch of excuses that came in my brain that didn't make this scenario optimal. There was the opportunity to record myself, which I can do just fine without any of those fancy devices or those tools, though they would probably enhance the experience and enhance the audio. I had this fear that it wasn't worth even recording. My thoughts weren't even important because I didn't have the right tools. And that is the biggest lie that human brains create in themselves. We create limitations without even knowing. Okay, how many of us have ever said, I will be better when, and we fill in the blank with something like when I'm out of debt, or when I have more money, or when I have a better job, or when I get into a house. You know, I think it's ridiculous that we continue to believe that our life can be lived after we hit a point, you know, and that seems to be the theme that a lot of people live their lives by. And I just can't stand for that. So I wanted to share an experience with you guys, some things that I've been going through and some things that I'm trying to do. And I wanted to just be completely vulnerable, and I wanted to also just share my experience from it all. I've been on this road I call the road radical transformation, because the process of changing one's self, not to become a different person, to become a better person. Now, what I mean by that is I'm exercising the behaviors that I desire most to have, obtain, and become habit so that I can become the person I want to be. Now, we do this visualization mindset exercise where every morning we have you obviously you're awake, but we have you close your eyes, and after you have written down, you know, your daily intentions, both professional and personal, once you've written down your intentions, we have you visualize the outcome of those intentions. What that means is we're not walking through step by step how my day is going to go, because we don't know that. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to come, what's going to cross our paths, who's going to interrupt us, okay? Who's going to spill their coffee on the coffee maker, right? We don't know that. But what we can visualize is the outcome. Because the behavior that we're going to be seeking is the behavior that leads to a particular occurrence, an outcome, a desire, right? And so as I train for a marathon, what I am really training for is the endurance section of an outcome, okay? I am just getting my body ready to endure 26 plus miles of pain, of running, of pounding, of heart rate high, so that I can do one thing: finish. So that I can cross a finish line. And what I need to do is in my mindset or in my envisioning activity is I need to visualize the feeling I'm gonna have when I cross that finish line. It's looking into the future. It is literally looking into the future. Teleportation. You're taking a trip, okay? And not the kind of trip that includes drugs. I have a good friend who told me all about those, and while that sounds exotic and quite fun, that's not what I'm talking about here. But you're gonna take a trip into the future. And the way you do that is by visualizing the outcomes of your intentions. Now, I learned that from a great friend. His name's Levi McPherson. Because when you visualize the outcomes of your intentions, you know what you're going into. You know what it's going to feel like when you cross the finish line of that marathon, right? It's something that you shouldn't dwell on. It's something that you shouldn't focus on. Here's the mistake I'm making. I jumped to another thought. The process is really, really important. The process is going to help you get there, right? The training, the dieting, your nutrition, all the things that you do in the process are going to increase the likelihood that you'll obtain the desired outcome. But here's the thing is, if you focus on the process as the outcome, that's the envisionment, that's what you're afraid of or thinking of every day, you're not going to have that moment where you cross the finish line. Okay, let's take an example here. I'm envisioning the outcome of my marathon. All right, and by the way, guys, I am not running a marathon. I haven't gotten there yet with my mindset. 26 plus miles is not something I want to endure. But there are other things in the world that are as challenging and as cool that I plan to do. One day I'll do the marathon thing. It's not my drive right now. So anyways, let's envision this. My vision is to run a marathon, and when I cross the finish line, I want to throw my arms out. I want to feel a rush of adrenaline that I had not received the entire race, that is going to make me feel like I accomplished one of the hardest things in the world. Okay? I want to cross that finish line and I want to feel good. I don't want to collapse, because the story that, oh, I gave it my all, I collapsed, I was breathing hard, the medic had to come, I jumped across the finish line, or I crawled across the finish line. While those are inspiring stories, I don't want that to be my story, right? I want to cross that finish line feeling good. I want to look down at my watch and say, yeah, I planned for that. Yeah, I had a few minutes to spare, or okay, that last mile was pretty tough, but you know, I did it. Let's get some fluids in me and maybe run one tomorrow. You know, that's kind of how I want to feel, because I feel like that will be the point of where this hard thing that I've done for the first time is now something that I can put behind me and say, what next? And that's kind of how my brain works. And I know some people probably don't feel that way, but let's just, for pretending's sakes, that's the envisionment of my outcome, okay? So now, in order to avoid the analysis of the paralysis, I need to train every day knowing that the outcome is I'm going to walk across that finish line, look down at my watch, throw my arms up in the air in celebration, feel adrenaline of excitement and accomplishment and happy, and then step off the platform, go put some fluids in me, have a good old bite to eat, and then get some rest and be ready for my body to run another marathon. That's what I want to be. That's where I want to be. If I can get myself there, then I will have felt like I achieved the outcome of my intention. So my intentions then would be train freaking hard, right? I've got to train as hard as I can. If I train as hard as I can, I give my heart, you know, the endurance training through intervals. I need to be running probably half marathons every day, or at least somewhat. But those half marathons need to be, you know, 60-70% effort, getting my heart right there. I need to alternate sprint intervals, you know, for every 5 minutes. I need to pick up the pace to an 80% race pace and then drop it down, you know, to 50 or so. There's a bunch of things that I need to throw in there, but all so that I can have that feeling of endurance, so that when I step up to the starting line, the gun goes off. I'm not anxious. I'm not scared for my first 12 miles. When I hit mile 12, I get the feeling that, okay, we're halfway there, but look at this. I feel great, and my body says, let's go. And I pick up the pace, you know, or I say, I got time to spare because I'm getting there. I'm close. So that's kind of my thought process, you guys, about this is when you envision the outcomes of your intentions, things become a little bit easier. Now I think of this in regards to let's take the tobacco addict, okay? Dozens of my friends smoke, and of those people, you know, they are addicted to nicotine. It is a curse, and it is something that they cannot shake. Okay, it is a drug in that it just consumes you, and your body biologically itches to eat it, to partake in it, to consume it, to feel of it, and then it just becomes a habit. One cigarette turns into a whole box within just a few days, months, years, so forth. And this brings me back to my whole point, guys. Radical transformation is something that I've been on for a very, very long time. And I have learned, let's call it a formula, but the formula for success for me, and that I've seen in a lot of other people, has been through the principles of accountability. And I want to describe those three principles right now. The first principle of accountability is personal accountability. Okay? Learning that mindset therapy, learning how to control your mind so that you envision the outcomes of your intentions. I am a smoker. I'm not really a smoker, guys, but just for example's sake, if I'm a smoker, and I smoke a pack a day, you know, it is hard. I am consumed by this. This is something that I cannot shake. I've been doing it for years. Okay, I know it's bad for me. I know it's something hard. You know, how many people drink soda when they know it's bad for them? How many people buy refined sugars and, you know, just consume the general thing that everyone else does? Well, 99%. Okay, that's a made up statistic too, guys. Look, I'm doing this on the fly, right? But majority of consumers, you know, grocery shoppers, Costco members, these people, they consume refined sugars and processed foods all for the sake, because they're used to it, because it's just part of them. And I dare to say it's an addiction, because that's how they were raised and that's what their biology is craving. But what they're actually craving is the nutrients that their body's been exposed to that are unnatural, aka refined sugars, processed nutrients, and so forth. All of the above. Back to the smoker thing is, if I wanted to quit smoking, I wanted to create a radical transformation in that I'm going to quit smoking. Well, what is that feeling? What does that look like?
The intention is to be healthier. Okay, I've already been smoking for over a year, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to quit smoking and to improve my health. All right, I got a residual cough. My lung capacity is fairly low. I can't walk up the stairs without losing my breath or breaking a sweat. That kind of stuff, right, guys? So at the end of the day, what I need to envision is the outcome of quitting smoking. What does that radical transformation look like? It's not going to be enough if I replace smoking with a compliment, like a nicotine patch or gum or maybe a hobby, goat yoga. I'm just throwing things out there, guys. I'm really just saying things. But what I'm trying to say is if you replace that thing, and I know there's so much science to back this up, and I'm not the scientist, nor am I the doctor or the expert on it, but I can tell you this. If you back up your intentions with radical transformation and discipline the body and the mind to achieve or attain that outcome, it becomes a lot easier. I 100% guarantee that this process is right. And the way that you do that is not only do you put yourself into a scenario where you are envisioning the outcome of your intentions. Okay, I want to quit smoking. I need to quit smoking. What does that feel like? I wake up in the morning and I am the kind, and this is a phrase you should all learn. Put yourself in third person. Okay, you are now the angel of yourself, hanging above in the air, looking down at yourself. Okay, I, John Kovach, the angel of John Kovach, is looking down at the body, the mortal being of John Kovach, and I say, John Kovach Jr. is the kind of person that, and then fill in the blank. What is the person you see your best self as? What does that look like? Who is that? And you know what? I can guarantee you, you can come up with 100+ different things. But bear with me for a second. John Kovach is the kind of person that wakes up in the morning and says no to drugs, alcohol, tobacco. That's it. That's all I have to say. And I get up and I'm like, yeah, John doesn't do that. Take it away from myself. You know, we get so consumed by certain things that it just becomes us. It will literally overtake you if you let it. Okay. But John is the kind of person that doesn't get into drugs, alcohol, or tobacco. What about this? John is the kind of person that doesn't eat refined sugars. In fact, John eats a lot of raw vegetables and fruit. He consumes the right nutrition and right nutrient combinations so that he burns fat, looks healthy, has a six-pack all year round. Okay, not just in the springtime when I'm getting ready for bikini season. by the way, you probably never want to see me in a bikini. All of that said, guys, hear this. You can change the outcomes of your intentions by focusing on the feelings and the desires that you have. Now, a lot of you are going to be like, oh, I want some scientific backing. I want some formulas. I want something there. And you know what? I agree. There should be. So if you have any questions, let's talk. Let's walk you through it. I am a coach for a reason. I speak to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who deal with problems as big as smoking and as little as learning discipline. But I should flip that around because honestly, discipline is the greatest concern of humanity. If you have zero discipline, there's zero accountability. Okay, principle number two of accountability, I'm going to wrap this up for the morning, is peer group. That's P-E-E-R, peer. Peer group accountability. Peer accountability. And the reason why you need peer accountability is because human nature is to feel belonging human nature is to feel vitality, and there's a survival instinct that's built into that. But when you feel like you belong, like you're part of something, a community, a tribe, we throw that word around loosely, and I'm sorry if that offends anyone, but you are part of a family, a culture, right? We want to feel belonging. No one wants to be an outcast. And you know what? I will agree. As someone who's going through radical transformation, there are a lot of things that I do now that make me the weirdest person in the world to my family, to my friends, to my own boss, my best friend. There's just so many things. But you have to have peer group accountability, okay? And go back to that phrase. You now tell yourself, John is the kind of person that does this, and you fill in the blank. Now what you do is you get people to say, oh, John is the kind of person that, you know, wakes up in the morning, he does 150 push-ups, 50 pull-ups, and he eats a carrot stick and reads a book and fills his mind, and then he jumps on a recording, and you know, he does, you know, more than 100 things in the morning before anyone actually gets up at the break of dawn. Whatever your ideal perfect self looks like, you know, envision that outcome. But look, you're going to get people to say that stuff about you. And it's inevitable, because the moment you start being different, people are going to start saying stuff. Okay? But the peer group that you want to have is the people who believe in you and stand back behind you. That is when they start saying, John is the kind of person that. You are the kind of person that. Fill in the blank. But that peer group accountability is also found through support groups, masterminds, which is 100% my business. I believe in that model, or the various models, and I'm gonna adopt all of them. But groups where you can be together. Look at the greatest NFL teams or NBA teams or just teams in general. The teams that work together, that stay on the path, that keep each other in control, that balance each other, those are teams that have pure accountability. And I said P-U-R-E, pure accountability versus peer, because it's in context, right? That's what we're talking about. So the pure accountability that comes from your peers, from your culture, your support group, whatever it looks like. And like I said, I highly advise you join a mastermind, because that has, in my opinion, all of the emotional functions and biological functions that are required for peer accountability, P-E-E-R. Okay, and we'll dive into that more later, guys. But the third principle of accountability for you to overcome challenges, resolve the problems in your life, drive exponential solutions, and to attain something you've never attained before, the way to do that is through professional accountability. We've talked about personal, you know, being able to look yourself in the mirror and say, yo, John, yeah, that's right. You're going to do what you said you're going to do, because the feeling of the achievement is so much greater than the feeling of when you did not achieve it. Peer group accountability, having the right people around you, and then what people start to say about you that validates your behavior. And then last is professional accountability. You guys, I can't stress enough that everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs a mentor. Everybody needs a someone to look up to, right? They need a teacher. Everyone needs a Mr. Miyagi in their life, all right? And some people can't purchase that. But you know what you can do? I am a huge believer in bartering. you know that thing that, you know, Americans or humans used to do when they had no money, but they had other forms of currency? Yeah, bartering is the greatest way to build reciprocal and even perpetual relationships. You know what I barter? I barter time, talents, expertise, advice, consultation. I barter resources, okay? I give people things that I naturally have or can give of excess in trade for mentorship and so forth. So if you have no money, that's okay. One day you'll have money and then you'll be able to afford the greatest coaches of all time. I have NLP coaches. I have business coaches. I have executive coaches. I have coaches up the wazoo, and I need them, guys. I need them. I rely on them. They become my outlet. Okay. So all of that said, guys, I just wanted to wrap this up and just say I'm on the road of radical transformation. And if you're on the road with me, let's celebrate together. Let's work on this together. Give me a call. Send me an email and DM me on, you know, whatever, in social media. Let's talk, because at the end of the day, we are going to achieve the outcomes of our intentions.